Hari Om Sahana Bhavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Saha Viryankara Vavahai Tejasvi Navadhitamastu Ma Vidvishavahai Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, page 44. 308 text. The word Tri-Adisha indicates that Krishna is the master of three places, Goloka, Mathura, and Dwarka. Or it can mean that he is the lord of Kiradaksha, Garbhadaksha, and Karanodaksha. Swarajya Lakshmya means that he is endowed with fulfillment of all desires. Sva indicates by himself or by his own Sarup Shakti. Rajya means independent. Thus, his very nature is to be independent. Lakshmya means by the highest amount of all types of wealth. Aptakama means he whose very desires filled. His form has shoes which are praised by the millions of crowns and the protectors of the planets who have long life like Brahma. The loud sound produced when all the crowns and diamonds touch Krishna's feet is compared to verses of praise. Brahma and the other protectors of the planets carrying out the orders of Krishna in regards to their specific duties is called Balim Harat, carrying out orders. Famous portions of the Puranas are here presented to describe the universes. A mass of unlimited, wondrous universes of great variety exist by the power of the Lord. Vishnu Purana says, there are 1,000 and 10,000 of universes, and 10,000,000 and 1,000,000,000 as well. So there's a lot. Bhagavatam says, because you are unlimited, neither the lords of heaven nor even you yourself can ever reach the end of your glories. The countless universes, each enveloped in its shell, are compelled by the wheel of time to wander within you. Like particles of dust blowing about in the sky, the Shrutis, following their method of eliminating everything separate from the Supreme, become successful by revealing you as their final conclusion. So the Upanishads, then they'll go through and by this process, this is not supreme, this is not like this, and then they reveal the Lord in the end. Because basically you can go through very quickly, because you have 24 elements and certain phenomena. You deal with those, then there's nothing else left. Right? They're not going to go through and, you know, everybody's, you know, one plank at a time on the neighbor's picket fence and then go to the next one. And no, they're going to deal with the modes of nature, you know, everything, earth, water, fire, like this. Even though over a period of time I might count all the atoms of the universe, I could not count all of my opulences, which I manifest within innumerable universes. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.16.39. Thus the argument of the Mayavadis who say there's only one universe is defeated. Oh, they even say there's only one universe. It's more than one, it's more than what they can handle.
Too much.
Yeah, because they're not actually going back to Garbhadaksha Vishnu and there being a cause. I think their position, what they're dealing with is just there's Brahman, and then because of this illusion we are jivas, we're seeing all this. So there's only need of one. Right? In their mind. Mm-hmm. Because there's no real cause for it. Because they can't say what the cause is. I mean, they'll come up with some very, the only word that comes to mind is lame. Very underdeveloped reasons why. I mean, they can't even tell where the origin of the illusion is, let alone what would be the actual cause of it, what would be the purpose of it. These is, you know.
Lame.
Huh?
Lame, yeah.
So they are like scientists? In a way that they only claim one universe?
Kind of. I mean, it's you have a... Yeah, and then, yeah, like here, there's one universe, so many solar systems. They don't understand, you know, there's planetary systems, there's all these different things. The, remember when Matali was taking Arjuna up into the, up to visit Indra, then you had all the great, while he went up, then there's all these different personalities moving around in their airplanes and doing all kinds of things, and he was saying, wow, who are all these people? He says, up here, they're denizens of heaven. Down on earth, you know them as stars. Right? So the different perspective is there. So they have their place, they move, they do all these different aspects. So there's so much that is not there. So yes, so the scientists, the Mayavadis, this path of jnana, they're unable to really appreciate the greatness, because then you'd have to accept that the Lord is there and then His greatness. Then it all makes sense. But otherwise, there's unlimited universe. Why would there be unlimited universes? Where would they come from? How would they be there? You know, it's just, they already have enough problem trying to explain illusion and the jiva. You know, just two things, let alone have to deal with all these unlimited universes. So, beyond their mental capacity. We see is that they only get up to this universe. All the philosophies only get up to this universe. They never actually get beyond. Only Vaishnavism is able to go beyond. Because they're dealing with their limited intelligence. So that's the maximum they can catch. You know, comprehend. When they go beyond, then you have to be... It's only by the Lord's grace you can understand. Yeah. 3:15. Some universes emanating from the amazing Shakti of the Lord are 100 million yojanas wide. Right? So ours is only, what is it? I think it's 2 billion or 4 billion miles. You know, so that's not, you divide that by 8 and that's how many yojanas. But here's 100 million yojanas wide, and some are 1 billion yojanas wide. So they're way bigger than ours. Some are 10 trillion, okay. And some are 10 quadrillion yojanas in breadth. So they're getting big up there. They're getting big. Within some of these universes are 20 planetary systems. In others there are 50. In others there are 100. In others 1,000. In others 10,000. And in others 100,000. In the universe of four-headed Brahma, there are 14 planetary systems. But in others, there are 20 planetary systems. In others, there are much, much more. And in others, even more. There's more, much more, and even more than that. Right? Yeah. The Brahmas and other Devatas have various forms, because ours is the smallest of all universes. Our Brahma has four heads, right? And that's it. I think it's two billion miles across. I think it's 2 billion. Yes.
One Yojana is 8 miles?
8 miles, yeah. So you can see some of them are... Ours is 2 billion, but some of them are... You know, it says here, what's that? Billion. Quadrillion. Yeah, so they're just so much bigger. Ours is, from what I understand, ours is the smallest universe, so our Brahma has the least amount of heads.
Yeah. So what goes on in this universe?
Same thing. Okay, you have a potato peeler, right? Okay, it's in black,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
But now you have go to one shop. It's in black, red, yellow, and green.
Okay, so basically, yeah.
Yeah, that's what you get. It's just they have more planetary systems. It's just you have the 14 planetary systems, but then you could have all these different places in between. So. In other words, ours deals with the general thing. If there's something specific, then you're sent to that universe to get that exact mix.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You know, it's just like in this neighborhood, you know, where the big houses run out and the small ones start, the house you need is bigger than those, but smaller than these. And you know, that kind of thing. So they just move you to another place. The Brahmas and other devatas have various forms and are endowed with thousands of powers. Some Indras and devatas have lifespans of 100 lives of our Brahma. Some Brahmas have lifespans of 100 trillion mahakalpas. 10 million crowns of these Brahmas and other protectors of planets praise the shoes of Krishna with their sound. So that's the whole point, is that this is what's going on, this is how great it is, and then these Brahmas are coming, and by offering their obeisances to the Lord, the sound of all their crowns and the jewels and all that touching then creates a great sound. One time Krishna was sitting in the assembly hall in Dwarka. The doorkeeper approached and said to Krishna that Brahma, desiring to see his lotus feet, was waiting at the door. This story is not meaningless like, this is the son born of a barren mother. Rather, it has meaning like, the sun rises. It's fact. Right. So this is the point. There's always the thing is that when the academic field can't deal with these things because they don't have the background or they just don't have the background to understand either have the references or anything like that in the context. So then when they get into these kind of things, then they just say they're just metaphorical.
Yeah.
It's easy.
Yeah.
You know?
You can't accommodate that it's poetic and at the same time scientific.
So you can't. So it's just the whole thing. You can't accommodate that, let's say, you know, somebody was so powerful. Napoleon only slept 2 hours a day or something. Mm-hmm. So they'll say, oh, that's metaphorical, means he didn't sleep much. Mm-hmm. You know, because I can't imagine how anybody sleep do that. I can't do it. Nobody I know does it. So it's the same kind of thing. Okay, so that's why he says this, because scholars are scholars, right? It means the modern academy, you hear more about it, publishes more, it does more. But when you're dealing with mundane scholars, they're all the same. Is that they depend upon their own intelligence, and so it has a limit. And so when they reach that limit, anything beyond that, then they'll just say it doesn't exist. That's easy. So therefore, the Acharya is making this point. Krishna asked, which Brahma has arrived? Hearing Krishna's words, the doorkeeper went and asked Brahma the same question. The doorkeeper returned to Krishna and said, the four-headed Brahma who produced the four Kumaras is here. The Lord said, bring him in. Brahma entered and offered respects. Krishna asked, why have you come? Brahma said, I will explain my reason for coming afterwards. You said today, which Brahma has come? Oh Lord, I would like to know about this first, because there's no Brahma other than myself, because he only knows his own universe. It's like, you know, is there some other Brahmas around here I haven't met yet? You know, they're out on vacation, he's stuck with all the job, you know, like that kind of thing. Krishna smiled, and in his mind instantly called the Brahmas and other devatas from millions of universes to Dwarka. They all arrived. Some Brahmas had 8 heads. Some had 64 heads. Some had 100 heads. Others had 1,000 heads. The others said, I got too many heads. Can I make it? Can we turn them into hands?
I'll trade you some heads for some hands.
Yeah. Others had 1,000 heads, others had 100,000 heads, and others had 10 million heads. Be tough tying your sika, right? Some Rudras had 20 heads, others had 50, 100, or 1,000 heads. Others had 100,000 heads and arms. Indras with 100,000 eyes and 1,000,000 eyes were present. Other devatas with various forms and ornaments were also present. Arriving before Krishna, they offered respects. Seeing all of them, the four-headed Brahma became completely bewildered out of astonishment. However, in the Vishnu Dharmotra, it is said that all of the universes have the same form in terms of shape and living entities. Right? So, despite... means still it's 8,400,000 species of life. Still, you just have hills, mountains. There's just more variety. Mm-hmm. What's the difference between a small condo and a big condo? It's all the same stuff. Just, you know, a little bit bigger here or something, or they have a palm tree there, and the other one doesn't. Mm-hmm. But it's the same. The principle is the same. You know, like a railroad station. There's small ones, there's big ones, mm-hmm. but it's the same principle. It is also said, that's why it said moving from universe to universe is just the same thing. Mm-hmm. It's not that there's anything new. That's why when Narad Muni describes his birth in the previous universe, then it's not like there's anything, wow, what's that? Mm-hmm. You know, he doesn't say, yeah, everything was basically the same, but, you know, the leaves were a different color, you know, stuff like that. You know. It's all the same. It is also said, O king, all the universes have only one form, with the same country divisions and same living entities. A conclusion is now given for the contradiction expressed in these two statements. So it's always the same principles, same kind of people, same activities go on, everything. It says same country divisions, same living entities. Right? You know, so every living every, you know, how you say, Every universe has its Iggy Pop. You know? it's like, you know, they all got it.
There's no escape.
Yeah, there's no escape.
But is the Brahma of different power, maybe?
He's just, he has more, because he has to manage a bigger universe. Just he has more power, but he's still managing a bigger universe. And it's just like, you have the man, he's strong, but he's picking up a smaller load. The elephant is stronger, but he has to carry a tree. Yes. So it ends up the same. It's not...
Yes.
Yeah, it's not that the experience is that he's dealing with more. Just like if you're doing a smaller management or bigger management, the principle's the same, what goes on, the experience, just the intensity, the greatness of it is different. So... therefore, then these different kinds of, you know, Brahma elements.
There are, for example, 400,000 species of human being.
Yes.
Same.
Yeah, it's always the same. That's what he's saying is the universe's the principle and how they function and run is always the same. So they're all doing the same thing, the same three modes of nature, the same, you know, 24 elements. You know, the same, everything's just going on the same. Eating, sleeping, mating, defending, it's all just the same thing. Yeah, you know, it's just like the difference between what goes on in a little village, let's say, you know, down in, like, Mexico or something, and what goes on in New York or in Tokyo. It's the same thing, it's just bigger, that's all. Everybody's still eating, sleeping, mating, defending, trying to get a job, trying to keep their house. Trying to keep the neighbors from bothering them, you know. So it's the same thing.
Same age, like Sakya, Treta, Vapara.
Yeah, same. Everything the same. All it is just it's bigger. Stuck here to the student. Okay. Korma Purana says, there is a contradiction in two statements. One should not take those statements as unauthoritative. One should accept them in such a way that they are no longer contradictory. That's the principle.
Yes.
So this idea that if they're contradictory, use them against each other, right? That principle comes from when you're a small kid.
Yes.
And you get your father and mother to contradict, and then you use that to your advantage.
You do whatever you want.
Yeah, but the point is no, because they're both authoritative, both have to be followed, so you have to work it out so both of them still function.
Mm-hmm. That takes intelligence.
That's the point, it takes intelligence. So if you don't want to put in that time and intelligence, then the natural thing is to say, oh, it's contradictory, how can we follow this? Mm-hmm. But the Vedas, it only appears to be contradictory, it's not actually contradictory. Mm-hmm. It's only on our level it's contradictory. Mm-hmm. Because you know, it's just like, let's say the mom, is just as she's walking out the door, she says to the kid, you know, and his friends, you know, have fun, but don't break anything. It's kind of like, that's contradictory. How is that possible? You know, it's like, but that's only their level of understanding. But on higher levels, then you can... Yeah. The scriptures say that one should perform sacrifice at sunrise, but other scriptures say one should not do sacrifice at sunrise. Since both statements come from the Shruti, neither can be rejected. Thus, if one scripture says the universes are different, and another scripture says they are identical, one should not reject either statement, since they are the words of knowledgeable sages. Though two opinions are given here concerning the universe, some people cannot accept that some universes are longer lasting, because then some parts would not be destroyed when everything is destroyed at the time of final destruction. Only by accepting the powers of the Lord can the contradiction be removed. So that's just that, you know, it's just when he breathes in, he can be selective which universes he breathes in. So, you know, that's all. But the point is at some point, they all disappear. That's all. So it doesn't matter how long they stay. At one point, it's gone. 328. The Lord sometimes destroys all universes at once. Here, the author begins to resolve the contradiction. Thus, it is said in the Vishnu Dharmotra, the Lord destroys simultaneously all the unlimited universes described previously by me to you. He remains in his own nature. This is called his night. Vishnu Dharmottara, 179. After destroying them, he again creates them. Sometimes he creates universes of various types, and sometimes he creates them all with the same form and duration. Thus, the act is described as happening according to the particular judgment of the Lord. Thus, concerning his consideration of purpose, it is said in the third canto of Bhagavatam, the Lord appeared in the mortal world by his internal potency, Yoga Maya. He came in his human form, which is just suitable for his pastimes. That form, filled with all auspicious qualities, was most wonderful for everyone, including the Lord himself. His, Sri Krishna's transcendental body, is the ornament of all ornaments. Okay, so then just according to how he, what is, because you have so many varieties of nature of the living entity, what they're looking for. So then sometimes he creates them all the same, sometimes they're different. So like that, these are all the things, it's up to the Lord's discretion. Because it can mean that either some of them are destroyed at one point, sometimes they're all destroyed at the same time, or, you know, this time they last longer, the next time they last shorter. You know, so you have all these different ways. The point is if you're breathing in and breathing out, creating universes eternally, you know, it's quite possible that you're going to come up with a way to create some variety.
Could happen.
Yes. You know? Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj. So they're discovering a new galaxy every 4 or 5 minutes nowadays. And I'm wondering, within this small galaxy, are there many planets that have human forms on them?
Yes. Basically, most all do.
You mean most galaxies? Or
It's just terminology they use today, and then they give it a definition, just like what was the definition of the atom going back a long time ago. Now they call that atom a molecule. Then they created the atom, you know, because that was the smallest. Because the definition of atom is what's the smallest particle that can't be broken down. But within what they call atoms now, they have protons, neutrons, electrons, and all kinds of stuff that, you know, how you say, Einstein said would be there that they still are looking for, right? So then the point is that's not actually an atom, but they call that an atom. You know, an atom is the smallest particle of a substance that, of earth or water, fire, of these things that are, that can't be broken down.
But what I mean is, like, I mean, a galaxy is...
No, you understand what I'm saying there?
Yeah.
So therefore they call it a galaxy as if it's a whole different, whole scene like that. But at the same time, as there's 14 planetary systems here, and within that there's so many breakdowns and that. Like at the top of Meru, there's 22 of the heavenly planets. But when they say planets, much of the time that means systems.
Mm. What I mean is, like, a galaxy is something you can see. Like if you go to Australia, you can actually see galaxies. What I mean is, it's a universe. Are there large number of planets that are like humans?
Yes. It's just there's 400,000 species of humans. We only see some of them here. You don't have 400,000 if you go to the Smithsonian. They're being totally politically incorrect. Then you still aren't going to get that many here.
like that. You know, so you have, because basically every different regional person, you know, type of people, they're a species. But nowadays they're mixed so much. But even that you can mix them, that's a species. Like you take anything, well, let's say they take a flower or take a vegetable and they cross them and do all kinds of things. But when it turns purple, that's the end of the line. You can't do anything more with it.
So in this galaxy, there are something like a million stars. So do you think there will be other planets of human form?
Yeah, yes, of course. Maybe. But this particular grade of human is on this mandala. But even this mandala, they can't see. The actual salt ocean is 100,000 miles. They're only able to perceive 25,000 of it. So where's the rest of it? Right? So we're only on a part of even just the central island. You know, but it's designed, it's just you can't see it. You can't perceive it. And they may say, no, but we're intelligent, we have instruments, but the point is people perceive what they want to see. That's the difficulty. The process of reasoning starts with the information coming in from the senses that's filtered according to my past impressions. So the concept that you're actually ever dealing with anything objective is totally unreal. It's just a matter of, you could say my objectivity is better than your objectivity. That you could kind of say. So it's already filtered, so there's so much information. But then if it doesn't match what their thought pattern is, they'll either throw it out or give some other meaning for it or adjust it, you know, these kind of things. It's a problem. So then it's just, you can only see what's within your capacity. That's it. You don't relate to things beyond that, but outside of that. So even if you saw something, they wouldn't relate to it. Because as it is, they're saying, oh, there's only this life form, or how you get these life forms are coming out quite strange. You know, it's just by chance. You know, but if you look at it, the odds of chance, of having so many chance options come out that you end up with modern man, even if you follow their theory, would be so great, it would be impossible. But, you know, the smart, intelligent, you know, broad-minded modern man says, yeah, you know. So that's the difficulty. Well, if you say intelligent design is, hey, wait a minute here, you know, that's getting very subjective. It's kind of like, wouldn't that be normal? Everything else is produced by a person. Why wouldn't this be produced by a person? You know, it's just that the more intelligent the person, the bigger things they can make. So who can make all this? That means really big person. So you have all these galaxies and all that, and they'll have their central thing and then all these other aspects around them. But then the principle comes is that they're functioning on the same pattern. So that's what we deal with. Because you'll get unlimited variety, but if you simply look at that unlimited variety, you'll get unlimitedly bewildered. You know, it's like let's say you go in a big city and hit all the stores that sell ladies' shoes. What's going to happen? You're going to get bewildered. Huh? Set up a tour, right? And then, right? And so then, but the principle of what a shoe does is the same, right? That's what it's for. So, and it goes on the foot. We don't have any, you know, Louboutin didn't make any shoes that go hang on the ears or anything, or that you wear as a hat. You know, it just doesn't happen. You know, you can't use, your Louis Vuitton bag as a canoe or something. Does that make sense? So what we do is we study the principle. And then from that, you know what's going on. Because otherwise, you're going to deal with every detail that unless you've done all the details, you can't say that this is a fact. And then the problem is no one would ever be able to say this is a fact. Because you can't check everything. You know, they check say sand is like this, but have they looked at every grain of sand? No. So therefore, one has to understand there's principles at work. And so when you catch the principles, then you understand the mechanics. Because our point is not about using the mechanics to accomplish things just by transformation of the material energy, but it's by using the mechanics of the material world for understanding who we are as the self and our relationship with the Supreme. So, in other words, with one thing you can do so many nice elements. So that's what we choose, like that. So then you can use it to gain that element of self-realization. Does that make sense? So they'll find these things, they'll find this. It means it's all out there, and it's amazing. And they're only just noticing it's there, and how it functions, it works, the species of life, why they're there, and all that. That they haven't even gotten around to yet. You know? So that's the Vedas describe all that. You know, so people who can move around the universe, they have described all these things. The Supreme Lord who made it describes them. Like that. And so but the only purpose of it is then we get an idea of the greatness of it and how small we are. Because we tend to think I'm the greatest in the universe. Right? You know, we all do the Muhammad Ali kind of line, right? So then that's the whole thing is that it means in our own sphere, yes, but in the whole greatness of the universe, no, we're very small. Like that. So then we have to know, therefore, everybody's like that, and then that means then we surrender to the Lord. Then we can actually understand what's happening. Then it works nicely. Is that okay? Yeah. Like that. Because they give a definition, but you see after 10 years, the definition they have to adjust a little bit. And then after 40, 50, 60 years, they have to completely change it. You know, it's just because they're learning by sense perception. And that's the slowest method. Authority, that's your quickest method. So it's interesting that they'll base their academy on sense perception, but they'll run their academy on authority. You know, which is interesting. You know, but if you present the Vedic authority from the Vedic science, then no, that can't be real. But they'll use their own authority. But it's like, how many people in the academy have actually scientifically dealt with those things directly? They're taking the authority of previous personalities, like that. You know, like that. So that's the quickest method. Otherwise, then if each individual had to go from, you know, the establishment of Bologna up to now, you know, span that 1,000 years of development of the modern academy, they probably wouldn't live long enough to get to this much knowledge. So therefore you take the authority of those who were before. Does that make sense? Yeah. Does that work? Okay. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Okay, the previous verse is, Lord Sri Krishna, who manifested his eternal form before the vision of all on the earth, performed his disappearance by removing his form from the sight of those who were unable to see him, as he is, due to not executing the required penance. Srimad Bhagavatam 3-11. Okay. So, yeah. Thus, yat, in the present verse, refers to his form. That form has been made manifest in this world by Krishna by the strength of his spiritual energy for people's understanding. He took a human form most suitable for pastimes in the material world. He could not perform attractive pastimes among humans with any other form. Performing pastimes by covering up his human nature and showing supreme powers is like the attractiveness of a mirror with a speckled coating on the back. You just don't really see it nicely. Right, because we can't relate to it. You know, it's like the guy is super, super powerful, but how big is he? He can't be too big, right? His muscles can't get too big. You know, he can't get too out of proportion. You understand? So the closer it is to human, but what we would consider at the time to be good or special, then we can relate to it. Otherwise, when you have these guys that are just
only heads or just the brain, and they keep themselves in these little things that they move around in. So then the point is, it's how much do we deal, how much do we relate, how much are we attracted? No, then it's just part of the story. Does that make sense? And who do we relate to in this story? Because if we're talking about the development, you know, by the modern, is then the guy that's just only a brain should be the most advanced, and that should be the most attractive. No, it's the guy running around out in the sand that we're worried about. Does that make sense? So it's the human form is the one that we can relate to. And it's a form that everybody can relate to, because it's the nicest of all the forms. But, you know, when you have, you know, hundreds of arms, you know, it gets difficult, you know, like that. It has its purpose, but it's not something that you can just sit down and lounge around with. You know, where do you put your hands? You know, it's a problem. You sit down on the couch, you keep them on your lap, you put them on the side, you put them on the back, you know, you know, like that. That's two arms. If you had 100 arms, what do you do with them? You know what I'm saying? It becomes a problem. So therefore, the human form is the best. Like that. Human pastimes without the show of powers gives bliss, like a mirror with a black coating of pure quicksilver. Thus, the form of a human is the most suitable. That form is most astonishing, even for himself. The omniscient, being the chief abode of all auspicious qualities, and it gives beauty to the ornaments on his body. So his form is so beautiful, it makes the ornaments more beautiful. We generally wear ornaments to make ourselves more beautiful. His ornaments become more beautiful by being in touch with his body.
That's good.
Text 33. The form of Bimba. Okay. Yeah, and his disappearance by moving his form from the sight of those who are unable to see him. Right, so he comes, he performs his pastimes. Everybody can see. But those who can't see him as the Supreme Lord or have that affection for him, then there's a point at which he removes that vision, so they can't see. But those who could appreciate him as the Lord, they continue to see. Does that make sense?
Mark?
Yes.
Is it the same principle with the scripture that some people, they see only contradictions, they can resolve them because
yes.
they have no blessings of the Lord?
Yes. Because the first element is you have to accept that it is right. Then you can start to catch how it works. Right? In other words, if I'm saying that this is not real or this is not correct, what am I going to look for? Good things or false?
False.
Yeah, so that's what happens. They can only see false. And the Lord blesses them that's all they can see. So they get very good intelligence for finding faults. You know, I mean, there are people that they are so good at finding faults, you wouldn't even know how do you deal with this?
No,
you know, it's just like, you know, somebody gets to you, says, you know, they're carrying the bag, you know, and then they say, hey, put it down, it's got wheels. I bought the bag for you because it has wheels on it, so you can pull it. Says, oh, really? So you bought the bag so I could pull it? You don't want to pull it? You don't want to carry it anymore? So you bought it so I have to carry it? Yeah, how did that happen? You know? How does this happen? Because they're only looking for faults. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So that's the whole point, is one has to be very, very careful. Is that if you want to see faults, you'll see them. If you want to see good, you'll see them. Because the good is actually harder to look for, because then you have to look for the superior quality. Right? The negative is easier because all you're doing is seeing the lack of the quality. Right? So something's not there, that's easy. I can open the fridge and say, there are no hippopotamuses here. You know, that's easy. You know? No hippopotamuses, yeah, and no rhinos either. You know? You know what I'm saying? It's just, that's easy, but to actually see what's there, to be able to understand and appreciate, that's more difficult. You know, let's say we go into the Louvre, we can say, wow, we can't play cricket here. You know, that's easy. You know, so that's the thing, to find fault is easy.
Mm-hmm. So they just get prasad. They just get prasad.
They just get prasad, yes. The form or bimba, understood from the previous verse, is most suitable for human pastimes. The human pastimes of Krishna
are more pleasing than the pastimes of Vaikuntha, Narayana, because of the variety, astonishing nature, and sweetness which covers his prowess and powers. Because otherwise, greatness has a limit. You know, you have the superhero. How many things does he do?
Not.
You know, one swings around from, you know, place to place.
Yeah.
The other picks up big things whenever he gets upset. Another thing, anything you throw at him, he's got this funny little shield he just puts in the way. And then where else? Yeah. And then how many things can you burn up? You know, I'm saying after a while, it's kind of like, you know, change the channel. Yeah. So that's the thing. The human form has the most variety, because if you don't manifest superhuman powers, then you have to work to get things done. That's the amazing thing, is how amazing things are accomplished without the use of superhuman power.
So that's why the great personalities don't use their mystic
seeds. Yeah, that's why they don't use them, because otherwise it's more special when they don't.
Yes.
Yeah, because if they do, then, you know, okay, you know, it's just like, well, what's the big deal? He can do that anyway.
It's funny also, these superheroes always... It comes to a point where the superpower stops working and they have to deal like a human anyway, because that's the most rasa for...
Yeah, yeah. Because then we get a taste.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that.
Yeah. Nice. And there is no reciprocation.
Yeah, no one else can do like that.
You know,
it's not like they're both going along together. And after a while, after it's been running for a while, then they have to make, you know, a counterpart. You know, but then that doesn't last very long either. So, because otherwise, it's then, you know, how can you relate to them?
Mm-hmm.
You know. So this you can relate, because you can feel, you can relate to what's happening, the feelings, the situations.
Mm-hmm.
So it becomes interesting, right? Because the point is, as he made before, the mirror. If you have a perfect mirror, you can see yourself perfectly. If you have a mirror where the back is speckled, you can't see yourself properly.
Mm-hmm.
So what we see are human qualities. So if they're not there, we can't really appreciate them. The word bimba implies that the form of Krishna is the root of all forms of the Lord, which are endowed with good qualities. Because the human form of Krishna is the shelter of unlimited qualities and forms, it is said to be most suitable for the variegated human pastime. Because if that's your origin, that means all the other avatars, all the other manifestations, the unique quality of that is already there in Krishna as the person.
Mm-hmm.
Right? In the human form. It's already there. But it only comes out in that one place, so you get that variety. Or the other, he takes and does that one thing.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like that. Krishna manifested that form with a direct display of the full powers of the Chit Shakti. See the astonishing power of my Chit Shakti. Even a trace of such power is not possible in all the spiritual worlds. By that Chit Shakti, he revealed his form attractive to the whole universe. This is how the meaning of the phrase starting with Swayoga Maya should be understood. So it's that his potency is very wonderful, but it's displayed through the human position. This form was most astonishing, causing ever-increasing amazement for the Lord of Vaikuntha, and even for himself. That form was the highest extent of astonishing beauty and highest shelter of eternal excellent qualities. Krishna's form is unequaled, since its limbs are ornaments, enhancing the beauty of the ornaments such as kostuba and makara earrings. Here a conventional distinction is made between Krishna and his body, though they are non-different, both being condensed eternity, knowledge, and bliss. In the description here, there is a distinction made between Krishna's body and himself. Is this not contradictory to the actual fact? This verse answers. The meaning is clear. The distinction of body and self within Krishna can be accepted because of the use of visesha, only to bring out the point of specialness, the uniqueness. Difference and non-difference coexist. In the same way, the phrase existence exists has meaning. The next verse gives the proof for this statement. As the Korma Purana says, in the Supreme Lord there is never any distinction between the Lord and his body. This is also stated by the women of Mathura in the 10th canto. What austerities must the gopis have performed? With their eyes they always drink the nectar of Lord Krishna's form, which is the essence of loveliness and is not to be equaled or surpassed. That loveliness is the only abode of beauty, fame, and opulence. It is self-perfect, ever fresh, and extremely rare. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:44-14. Okay, so that's the thing. Self-perfect means it didn't take someone else to make it perfect. Ever fresh and extremely rare. Get those three? Yeah. Okay, Krishna speaks to Baladev. This earth has now become most fortunate because you have touched her grass and bushes with your feet and her trees and creepers with your fingernails. Because you have graced her rivers, mountains, birds, and animals with your merciful glances. But above all, you have embraced the young cowherd women between your two arms, a favor hankered after by the goddess of fortune herself. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:15-8. This verse shows the supreme position of Krishna, since even Lakshmi, the consort of Narayana in Mahavaikuntha, desires Krishna. O Balarama, today the earth is most praiseworthy, because the grass and bushes have been touched by your feet, and the trees and creepers have been touched by your fingernails for taking flowers. The Jamuna and other rivers, and Govardhan and other mountains, are fortunate to have received your merciful glance. The Shama Lata creepers, or the gopis, are fortunate to have contact with your chest, which the queens of Vaikuntha long to embrace. They were attracted to his courage. Quote, generally women are attracted to a man's courage, end quote. They had heard of Balaram's killing Pralambasura. This is an example of Purvarag, attraction even before seeing the Lord. Right, so that attraction is there, like here the example is given, the gopis, you know, hearing about this. But it's also like Rukmini, she only heard about Krishna and decided, this is my husband. So she already had that complete attraction. Mm-hmm. So then she sent the letter to Krishna, and then Krishna came. 3:45. When he began to praise the sweetness of Vrindavan and the gopis with great longing, seeing that it would result in praising himself, he instead began to praise Balaram. Because it would be inappropriate to praise himself, Krishna used Balaram as a substitute, for it is actually inappropriate to say that Lakshmi desired the chest of Balaram. Mm-hmm. Like that. Because Lakshmi, in this form, we're always putting with Vasudeva. Yes. Right. In praising Balaram, it was not Krishna's intention to enumerate the excellence of Balaram. It was a joking statement made to Balaram out of friendly relationship. But why would Krishna reveal this secret conjugal affairs to Balaram? This verse answers, it is a joking statement made out of Shakyabhava, not to be taken seriously by Balaram. Mm-hmm. 3:47, the gopis are most praiseworthy because of attaining your chest, to which Lakshmi also has aspirations. It is mentioned that Lakshmi had only desire for the Lord's chest. She did not, however, have the qualifications to attain his chest. Lakshmi is always fixed on the chest of Narayana, Lord of Vaikuntha. By her having a desire for Krishna's chest, the superiority of Krishna's form is shown. A story from the Padma Purana is here presented. Lakshmi, seeing the beauty of Krishna, desired to attain him. Seeing her perform austerities, Krishna asked, "Why are you doing austerities?" She said, "I desire to perform pastimes with you in Vrindavan." Krishna said, "That is rarely achieved." She said, "I desire to be a golden line on your chest." He said, "Let that be." She then became situated on his chest as a golden line. It is well known that she performs her austerities in Srivana, Bilvavana. Okay, so then that he has the Kustuba, the Srivatsa. So that way Lakshmi is always there. She's attained in this way. Mm-hmm. 3:52. This story is referred to by the wise of Kaliya in the 10th canto. For this end, the goddess of fortune performed austerities for centuries, giving up all other desires and taking austere vows. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:16-36. With a desire for the dust from the feet of Krishna, Lakshmi, giving up all traces of majestic rasa in Vaikuntha, performed austerities. One should not think that there is some unsuitable mixture of rasa, because Lakshmi's sthayi bhava is distorted by a desire for another man. Since Vishnu and Krishna are non-different, there is no question of desiring another man. It's just that she desires this form of her husband. That's the whole point. But the point, but the element is that then one has to have that attitude, you know, because of the aspect of ashray, right? Meaning being the ashray of that flavor, then Krishna will reciprocate that. But because hers is of majesty, he reciprocates as Narayana. Yes. Though it is understood from the scriptures that the forms of Vishnu and Krishna are not different, the form of Krishna is revealed as superior by the excellence of its prema. This is because of the nature of his rasa, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1-59. Even the name of Krishna is considered to be far superior to Narayana's. It is said in the Brahmananda Purana, the result of chanting 1,000 names of Vishnu 3 times is attained by chanting one name of Krishna only once. Okay, so it must be the Vishnu Sahasranama is in the Brahmananda Purana. That's the verse here. The superiority of Krishna is shown by the greatness of his name. The result achieved by reciting the 1,000 names of Vishnu listed by... Oh, no, it's in Mahabharata. Reciting the 1,000 names of Vishnu listed by Vaishampayana in Mahabharata is achieved by reciting only once a single name related to the appearance of Krishna mentioned in the list of 108 names in the Brahmananda Purana. Okay, so that's the connection. All the names, even Vishnu's names, describe the appearance of the Lord. But those names relating to Krishna are special. Thus, the names mentioned in the Brahmananda Purana give much more result than the 1,000 names in the Mahabharata. It is like the special position of the Bhagavad Gita spoken by Krishna in comparison to other statements made by other forms of the Lord. 355. Because he hears everybody accepts Gita, because that's because Krishna spoke it. Other pastimes where he's giving instructions, people may know about him and may not. Mm-hmm. But Gita is always well known. As well, Skanda Purana says, O best of Bhrigu, of the Bhrigu lineage, Shonaka, the name of Krishna is the sweetest of the sweet, and the most auspicious of the auspicious. It is the fruit of the tree of all the Vedas. It is fully spiritual. Chanting Krishna's name once with faith, or even with inattention, will deliver any human being. Thus, by relating the word Swayam 3 times with Krishna alone, the supreme position of his form as Swayam Rupa is made clear in the Bhagavatam and other scriptures. His position is clearly stated in Brahma Samhita. Krishna is the supreme controller, the enjoyer of innumerable consorts, and the possessor of an eternal form of knowledge and bliss. Though he cares for the cows, he is without origin. He is the source of all other forms of God, and is the cause of all causes. Brahma Samhita 5.1, text 358. I worship the Supreme Lord Govinda, who, though appearing in the worlds in eternal forms such as Rama and Nrisimha, with their characteristic powers, also appears personally in the supreme form of Krishna with the most attractive pastimes. Brahma Samhita 5.39. The verses from Brahma Samhita further support Krishna's Swayam Rupa. One should not claim that because Rama and other forms are not different from Krishna, they also display all powers sometimes, even though Krishna is Swayam or independent. The above verse states that portions of the powers appear in these forms with limitation of amount. Thus, for all these reasons, the Supreme Lord of Vaikuntha is the Vilas expansion of Krishna. Narada, knowing the conclusion of the verses, cited by the Shrutis, which were the essence of the Vedas, when they met together, prayers of the personified Vedas, offered respects to Krishna. Narada said, I offer respects to Bhagavan Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam 1087-46. So the Shrutis, they're giving that, because this prayer is the personified Vedas. We said that's like the seed, you could say, of the Bhagavatam, because all the aspects of the Lord's glories and qualities are all explained there. And then those are expanded out in the rest of the Puranic literature. The author further supports Krishna's supreme position. Narada, who heard the verses of praise, which are the essence of the Vedas, offered respect to Krishna. If the conclusion were otherwise, he would have offered respects to Narayana, not Krishna. Thus, the conclusion of the Vedas also is that Krishna is Swayam Rupa. Right, so the Puranas are saying, and the Vedas also say, this is otherwise prayers by the personified Vedas, means they are the Veda. And so they're talking about his position. 362. But Krishna appeared as an expansion only at the end of Dwapara Yuga, as leader of the Yadus. How can you say that the Lord of Vaikuntha, who is without beginning, is his Vilas expansion? Though defeated, now this is the comment, though defeated, the advocate of Narayana's supremacy again argues in anger. Right? So you're saying, okay, he's a Vilas, means he had to expand. But the point is, since he's eternal, how could he expand? He was always there. Pradhur Bhuta means that Krishna appeared as an expansion of Vasudeva called Santodita. Anadhi, in reference to Narayana, means that he is a Nityodita, or permanent form. Right, so his point is that he appeared at the end of Dwapara Yuga as the leader of the Yadus. Right. So how can you say that Narayana, you know, is his expansion, since Narayana is always there, and Krishna just appeared here? Text 363. This is not so. Since Krishna is without beginning, his birth pastime is also without beginning. Krishna, by his own will, not by karma, makes his appearance at all times. This verse refutes the argument. Krishna did not appear recently, because it was stated in the eternal Gopal Tapani Upanishad that Krishna taught Brahma his duties at the beginning of Brahma's life. As well, Prahlad and Priyavrata, who appeared in ancient times, meditated on Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam 7.437 and 5.16. Since Krishna did not suddenly appear at the end of Dwapara Yuga, but is actually without beginning, his birth pastime is also without beginning. He appears by his own will. Thus, the statement that Krishna appeared only at the end of Dwapara Yuga is made out of impetuosity. And this finishes the book. So part two is the last chapter.
Yes, part two is last chapter.
So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 is the first part.
Yes.
Okay.
5 chapters in the first part. 1 chapter in the second.
Second part. Okay. So now we're going to start with. Oh, we're continuing.
Yeah.
With chapter 5. Oh,
there's 500 verses. In
500 verses. Yeah. Okay, chapter 5, discussion of the Paravastha forms continued. Text 364. Thus it is said in the third canto, the personality of Godhead, the all-compassionate controller of both the spiritual and material creations, is unborn. But when there is friction between his peaceful devotees and persons who are in the material modes of nature, he takes birth just like fire, accompanied by other forms. Right? So this point of the friction, right? So when there's friction caused by the wind and all that, of the bamboos, then there's a fire, right? So when there's friction between the devotees and the non-devotees, then Krishna appears like fire. You know, he's like that.
And there's a friction amongst devotees.
Yes. It says, when there is friction between his peaceful devotees and persons who are in the material modes of nature. So, probably won't get much friction there. So, this verse is proof that Krishna is without beginning. When the Lord's devotees, such as... Vasudeva, are afflicted by those with demoniac forms. The Lord, full of six qualities as Bhagavan Krishna, with compassionate heart, though unborn, and without senses and body received by karma, makes his appearance from his abode like fire rising from wood, aratni. Because the aratni is just by churning, the friction, the fire comes. It's a special kind of wood. See, generally wood is that if you create enough friction where you get fire, it turns into charcoal. So you actually never get fire so much. Right? Like that. But aratni is a special kind of wood that when you churn it, it will get so hot that it's like coal, so you can light things from it. So they churn it, and then it creates, and then they light the cotton like that, and then that they use to start the fire. So that's considered pure. So like that, just by the friction, it can come to the point of actual flames. Mm-hmm. Like and it doesn't go into charcoal. No.
It's existing now?
Yeah, it means wherever you have a banyan tree and a peepal tree growing together, that wood at that kind, that's what they make them out of. Problem is where are you going to find those? You'd have to go out into the jungle and look for them. Then you have the problem of lions, tigers, and bears, and, you know, the whole thing. So but before it was more common. Yeah, I mean, they would make them. So it's not just any wood, it has to be that wood.
How is it? Banyan tree and
peepal tree. Sometimes they grow together. So that point where they grow together, it means it has both kinds of, you know, in other words, they grow together, so that means the sap and everything is moving. And so that point, that wood there is special. So it would have to be quite big and old to get a big enough block where that combination. So. He is the controller of the spiritual and material realms and appears with other forms, the Lord of Vaikuntha. His vyuhas, their portions, which are the Purushavataras, and their portions, like the Lila avatars, who are all situated in the spiritual world. But remember, he was talking about that as the vyuhas go out, the Lord, so you have Mahanarayan, and then all these vyuhas go out from there. So when Krishna appears, then Mahanarayan appears with them. That means that all the vyuhas also come. Yes. Just as the subservient kings accompany the emperor who goes out conquering all directions, the vilas forms and their portions and portions of portions follow Krishna. Right? Because you had Mahanarayan, then you had coming out from there, and then you have the Purusha avatars, and then from Purusha avatars you're getting the Manvanta avatars, and then from them you're getting the Yuga avatars. So you're getting portions of like this. The vilas forms and their portions and portions of portions follow Krishna, Swayam Bhagavan, when he makes his appearance in the universe. 365. Sva, his own, means devotees. They have forms which are Shanta. Shanta means intelligence fixed on the Lord. Because Shanta, when we say peaceful, it means fixed on the Lord. So if you want peace, you have to fix your mind on the Lord. If you don't fix your mind on the Lord, you never really get peaceful. Right? Otherwise, if the peace was so great, why can't they do it for longer? Why it's only 20 minutes?
Yeah.
Right? Because the point is that without fixing it on the Lord, they don't actually become peaceful. It means that there's not the agitation of the particular one that's bothering you. That comes down. But then other things come up. You know, it's just like the thing at the office is bothering you, so it comes down. And then, you know, more peaceful. And then it's, oh yeah, what about the investments for my son's college? You know, so, you know, like that. It's just the way it works. So peace means, how you say? This, remembering. The Bhagavatam verses explain. The word shanta is analyzed according to Bhagavatam. Sama means fixing the intelligence on me. 11.19.36 366. This refers to devotees such as Vasudeva and others in Mathura, and to Nanda and others in Vraja. Itarahi means by those opposite in nature, by the demons such as Kamsa. Sarupahi means with very horrible form. Shushtu plus Arupahi. Abhyar Dhamane Shu means put into extreme pain everywhere. Krishna, whose mind is filled with compassion, is the Supreme Lord of the spiritual worlds, headed by Goloka, and the material universe is covered by illusion. Mahad refers to he who is the greatest in glory, the Lord of Vaikuntha and the Chakravyuha, number is 8. 8 members are the 4 in Narayan's Vyuha and the 4 in Krishna's Vyuha. Okay, Krishna's Vyuha is superior to the Vyuha of the Lord of Vaikuntha, starting with Vasudeva. Krishna becoming one with all these Vilas forms, including the Lord of Vaikuntha with his Vyuhas, makes his appearance in the world. The Narayana Vyuha is thus a Vilas expansion of the Vyuha of Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? So Krishna is already expanded as, you know, Balaram and this. Then the Lord of Vaikuntha is expanding from there. Okay? So that original Vyuha is first. Then we come out into actually Vaikuntha. Amsa refers to the avatar form starting with the Purusha avatars, then Rama, Nishringa, Varaha, Vamana, Narayan, the friend of Nara, Hayagriva, Ajita, and others. Krishna is eternally situated with these Vyuha and Amsa forms within himself. These forms are revealed during Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. The following verse explains how the Mahad and Amsa forms are all present in Krishna. This accounts for the astonishing pastime of the Lord of Vaikuntha shown to Brahma in Vrindavan during the Brahma Mohana Lila, with tens of millions of universes and their lords, because this was revealed through Krishna's Swamsa forms. The pastimes of Vasudeva in Mathura and Dwarka were also revealed within Braja, with the forms of Vasudeva, Sankarshan, Prajumna, Aniruddha during his childhood years. Thus, when Sri Dhamma became Garuda, Krishna assumed 4 hands. And when the 12 Adityas arrived, he manifested 12 hands to bless them. Like, it's just 12 of them, so one hand each. Yeah. Something.
Practical.
Yeah. Sri Dhamma was the son of Rishabhanu and great friend of Krishna. When the 12 Adityas all bowed their heads at once, Krishna showed 12 hands to bless them all at the same time. So that means the second one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Nobody feels left out.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Balaram manifested as Sankarsana in the pastime of killing Agasura in Vrindavan. In the Gopaltapani Upanishad and Varaha Purana, it is said that Prajumna and Aniruddha eternally reside in Mathura. Also, the pastimes of the Purusha avatars are revealed in Mathura, with the form lying on Ananta. It is well known that whenever these pastimes are revealed by Krishna, they are mentioned in the Puranas. Because you have that the Chaturvyuha that's there in Mathura. Right? Then from them are expanding the Vaikuntha deities. Right? So you have Mahanarayan there, then everybody expanded.
Is the same name as Chaturvyuha?
Yeah, Chaturvyuha, because Chaturvyuha means these 4 aspects of the personality. These 4 different moods. And so then you'll always have these 4, Shankar, Shampajuna, Aniruddha, and Vasudeva.
For Krishna and Narayan, it's the same name.
So yeah, whether you're talking about the forms within Goloka or you're talking about the forms outside Goloka, it's the same. Because the mood is the same, it's just how much power is there.
Yes.
378. Those forms such as Rama, which were revealed during Krishna's pastimes, are present today in Mathura in deity forms. Krishna created a milk ocean from the bountiful milk of 100,000 billion cows. 100,000 billion cows. Okay, then you'll get an ocean, definitely. Assuming the form of Ajita, he churned that ocean with the cowherd boys, who took the forms of devatas and demons. He who is four-handed Lord of Vaikuntha and Lord of Swetadvip and Naranarayana is actually the son of Nanda, enjoying pastimes in Vrindavan. Right, so in other words, he's saying these are all actually Krishna.
Yes.
Because then he put that they're here, and then we're saying Krishna's beyond. But now that he's established his position, I'm saying, well, actually, they're all Krishna. Yes. Mm-hmm. Thus, it has been proven that Krishna comes with all his vilas and avatar forms.
Unlimited
attractive avatars appear from Krishna and merge into him, like thousands of sparks emanating from a large fire and merging into it. In the scriptures, some sages, having realized a certain incident, say that Krishna is Narayana, friend of Nara, Indra's younger brother, Kirudakshai, Mahavishnu, or the Lord of Vaikuntha. Some sages have limited vision of the Lord because they have realized only certain forms, such as Badri Narayan in the form of Krishna. Vyasadeva has recorded all these statements. This is the method for those eager to know the conclusion. Thus, Vyasa has repeated the words of others in the Karna Parva of the Mahabharata, which claim that Shalya is greater than Krishna and Karna is greater than Arjuna. Right? In other words, others see it like that. So therefore, it's recorded. It's not necessarily that that's the position, but it's been recorded. Having explained an incidental topic about Mahad and Amsa, now we return to the main subject, analysis of the Bhagavatam verse. Krishna, who is without birth, made a manifestation of birth. This is understood from the Shruti statement, Ajayamano Bahuda Virajate. Though he is unborn, he appears in many forms, Mahanarayana Upanishad. Smriti says, Ajopi son Abhyayatma. He is unborn, the unchanging soul, but he appears by his own energy. Bhagavad Gita 4:6. Okay, 386, so doubt. But it is contradictory to say that the same person is unborn and takes birth. This doubt is answered by the word Bhagavan. Krishna is Bhagavan, full of inconceivable powers, so he can do this. Quote, we can say that the Lord is unborn when he comes from Vaikuntha and makes an appearance as he did with Gajendra and Dhruva, right, because he just appears. But how can we say that when he takes birth from a mother and father with bodies? The question is posed and answered. The Lord is without birth because he does not undergo any change, since he operates through his own form, qualities, and powers without accepting material elements at all. He makes an appearance in his body. That is called his birth. It is like the moon arising from the east. All of this is accomplished by his inconceivable energy. Right. So in poetics, okay, there should be no doubt in this regard. So in poetics, we see that if you just, I mean, science would say that this, the moon's arisen, it's at, you know, this or that, whatever. But the poetics is how it's coming from the east, arising from the east, you know, and it'll be made, comparisons will be made and all these different things. Mm-hmm. So that's the specialness of it. So it has that poetic. So it appears that he's appearing that way. Mm-hmm. You know, that he's born. No, he just appears through that medium, like the sun appears to the east. Mm-hmm. But he's independent. Right? 387. Fire, though a powerful form, remains hidden in wood and jewels, but due to a certain cause, appears from jewels and wood. Right. Similarly, Krishna makes his astonishing appearance, which is without beginning at a certain time under certain circumstances. So I wonder if you have a problem when you have these jeweled lanterns, that you can't have it become too bright or the jewels will catch everything else on fire. Right? No? You know, like a magnifying glass kind of thing.
Yeah. That would be bad.
Some special stones, by hitting with iron, produce fire. By turning the aratni stick, fire which has been present within the wood becomes visible. His birth pastime is eternal. Quote, at certain times, means at the end of Dwapara Yuga, in the 28th Yuga cycle of Vaivasvata Manvantara, thus the idea that Krishna is the Santodita form is defeated. 388. The ultimate cause of Krishna's birth, pastime, is his mercy to the devotees practicing bhakti, to broadcast the glories of his pastimes. Purport. What is the cause of Krishna's appearance in the universe? this verse answers. The meaning is this. The main reason for his appearance is not to remove the burden of the earth, since this is possible to accomplish by jivas who are empowered. It is known that many demons were killed by Parasara and Dhruva. But some devotees become completely absorbed in Krishna's form and qualities and long to see him directly. Without that vision, they feel great pain. Shutadeva and Bahuvilasa are such devotees. By showing himself to them, he gives them great bliss. Thus, Krishna gives mercy to Vasudeva and other dear devotees who appeared before him by killing Kamsa and other demons who afflicted them. These are the two main reasons. Relieving the burden of the earth is the secondary reason. In the verse, it is mentioned that he is merciful when his dear devotees are afflicted by the fearsome demons. This is the ultimate cause of his appearance. Rama and the devatas praying for the Lord to relieve the burden of the earth is a secondary reason. Even today, Krishna, the ocean of mercy, reveals himself to the dear devotees who are full of the pain of longing to see the Lord in his pastimes. Right? So in other words, the pain that comes from desiring to see him and the pain that comes from being disturbed by the demons. Because when they're disturbed by the demons, they want to see Krishna. You know, but besides that, they still want to see Krishna. Mm-hmm. It just goes like that. These two verses explain Krishna's eternal nature. The form of Krishna were not eternal, the devotees would not be able to see it at present. The eternal nature of Krishna's birth pastime will be explained later. And so that you can see Krishna today, now, right, by meditating upon it, you can see him, means he's always present. Otherwise, it was in the past, you know, it wasn't, then that would fade. Even today, the greatest devotees become overcome by ecstasy due to prema, see Krishna playing in Vrindavan. The scriptures state that even the associates, that even the associates of the Lord have eternal forms. Then what is amazing if the Lord of all controllers has an eternal form? If the person who makes his appearance has an eternal form, his pastimes of appearing must also be eternal. This verse shows the eternal nature of Krishna's form by comparing it to the forms of his devotees. Gopal Tapani Upanishad, after saying, Eko Vasi Sarvagha Krishna Idya, Krishna is the prime entity, the controller, all-pervading and most worshipable. Says Nityo Nityanam Chaitanas Chaitananam Ekobahunam Yogi Tathati Kaman. Krishna is the chief eternal and chief conscious entity, the chief among many, who accomplishes the desires of his devotees. He is the chief eternal conscious being among all eternal and conscious beings. He fulfills whatever is desired by his devotees. His devotees is understood from the latter reference. Gopa Gopi Gavat Vitam. He is surrounded by cowherds, gopis, and cows. The statement of the Puranas will be presented to silence the logicians and other opponents. Though it is obvious that Krishna is eternal, still many clear statements from the scriptures will be given to defeat the opponents. Right? So now he's explained it nicely. Now he's just going to throw in other quotes just so that everybody is quiet. 395. Thus Brahma says in the Bhagavatam, this universe appears independent, though it is manifested by the potency of illusion emanating from you. Those unlimited transcendental forms are full of eternal happiness and knowledge. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.22. Purport. Satvatam means independent, and that refers to Krishna and no one else. Know that all others are called asatvam because they are dependent, O Bharata. That's from Mahabharata. 396. Brahmanda Purana says, the form of the Lord is not accepted or given up by him. The appearance of accepting and giving up a body is called the Lord's avirbhava and tirobhava. Bhagavatam may say Krishna is eternal, but how do you explain jagrihe paurusham rupam? Krishna accepted the form of a human, Srimad Bhagavatam 131. And Harir api tat yaja, no, tat yaja akritim trayadisha. The Lord gave up his form, Srimad Bhagavatam 3.4.28. The present verse and the verse that follows gives the answer. Right, so now he's just pulling out, in other words, he's dealt with the main opponents to Krishna's position. And now then he is dealing with all other side things in that that anybody may come up with. Mm-hmm. But any verses that people use and discuss and all that, and being a great scholar, then it'll be known what they are, so now he's just presenting. Mm-hmm. So these others are your main discussion, main presentation, but in case they bring up these in the process, then you have something. The Vishnu Purana says, the forms of Bhagavan and his avatara are eternal. He has an eternal form, eternal fragrance, eternal power, and eternal bliss. Vyasa speaks to Krishna in the Padma Purana. O Madhusudana, I desire to see with my two eyes. O Lord, may he whom Upanishads describe as the eternal existence, highest Brahman, the source of the universe, and the Lord of the universe, be visible to my eyes. Padma Puran 2, 7, 3, 12 through 13. Yeah. Krishna speaks in the Padma Purana. Look, I will show you the form hidden in the Vedas. O king, when I saw a young cowherd boy colored, then I saw a young cowherd boy colored like a black cloud, wearing yellow cloth, surrounded by young gopis, laughing with young cowherd boys. He was sitting under a kadamba tree. Padma Purana 4:73, 17-19. Also from the Padma Purana. Then Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, who wanders in Vrindavan, spoke to me. My form with lotus eyes, which you have seen, is spiritual, eternal, imperishable, not subject to material transformation, tranquil and full of eternity, knowledge and bliss. It is most complete. There is nothing superior to this form of mine. End quote. The Vedas say that this form is the cause of all causes, independent, all-pervading, all-blissful, all-knowledgeable, eternal, and all-auspicious. Because Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan, he is the most complete. And his clothing, associates, and pastimes are also complete. In the Vasudeva Upanishads, it is said, through bhakti one can know my unequaled form, the source of all, which is without beginning, middle, or end. Self-illuminated, full of eternity, knowledge, and bliss, and indestructible. Vasudeva Upanishad 3.5. Because there is no difference between Krishna and his form, this statement can be made. By these statements, the idea that Krishna accepts and gives up bodies is rejected. 403. Some may argue, quote, but Krishna is actually without form. He becomes visible with material form. End quote. The opponent tries to reinforce his argument. Krishna is actually invisible because he has pure knowledge and bliss. Becomes visible because of accepting a form of material sattva guna. Right? So he's saying he's appearing. He's not eternal. So he's saying is, well, actually, you know, he is Brahman. So there's no quality. So now, so that you are able to see him, that's because he's accepting a form in the mode of goodness.
How can he accept if he has no quality?
How can he accept if he has no quality? That would be there, because but an acceptance means an action. That means there must be some way to accomplish this action. Mm-hmm. Right? So then you also have Lisa's problem. Yes. Thus in the Moksha Dharma, the Lord says, you do not understand that I become visible because I accept the form. Being master and guru of the universe, by my desire, I can become invisible. Narada, you see a material form which is Maya, created by me. You should not think that I am made of material qualities and elements. Mahabharata 12:326, 42 and 43. This is a quotation from scripture to support the opponent's argument. You do not understand that I, like others, become visible because I take a form. If I desire giving up that form you see, I become invisible because I am the Lord, capable of accepting and giving up such a form. The other persons cannot do this. Quote, if others cannot do so, how do you who are without form take up a form? This form of mind that you see is created by me out of Maya. Right? So this is their idea. You should not think of me, who am knowledge and bliss, to be made of material qualities such as sound, touch, form, taste, and smell. So that's the point, is that he isn't that. He is transcendental. Right? At the same time, is that if one is seeing a form and one is just seeing the material elements, that aspect has that illusion part to it. Because he's not that. He's transcendental. Padma Purana says, the Lord is without name and form and is described by the Vedas and Smritis as the non-doer. The conclusion is as follows, from the Vasudeva Adhyatma. Because one can never enumerate all the Lord's qualities, he is said to be without name. Because he has no material form, he is said to be without form. Because the ancient Lord is not a doer who is dependent on matter, he is said to be the non-doer by knowers of the Puranas. So this is giving a definition of what all these words mean, because these are the key words that are misinterpreted. Mm-hmm. He's a non-doer, so he does nothing. No, it means he doesn't do any. He's not dependent on matter, mm-hmm. Right? Because if you're a doer, you're dependent on matter to transform. He's a doer who's not dependent on matter. So that means he's beyond matter. He controls mm-hmm. matter, because we don't control matter. Mm-hmm. The argument that the Lord takes a material form is refuted, because the Lord cannot be described completely. He is said to have no name. Karts snyena najopi abhi tatum isha. Quote, even Brahma cannot describe the Lord completely. End quote. Bhagavatam 12.4.39. Anama is used with the meaning of, quote, not being completely describable. End quote. Without form means without a material form, but with a spiritual form. The word non-doer means devoid of doership, dependent on a relationship with matter. He is, however, a doer independently, as the following statements. Tad aikshata, he glanced. Chandogya Upanishad 6.2.3. And so kamayata, he desired. Taittiriya Upanishad 2.6. I think 2.7 is that Rasovai Saha. Mm. Since these are descriptions of him doing activities before relating with Prakriti, he does activities in a place which is devoid of any trace of matter. Thus, he is an independent doer. Previously, the spotless place was described. The personality of Godhead being very much satisfied with the penance of Lord Brahma, was pleased to manifest his personal abode, Vaikuntha, the supreme planet above all others. This transcendental abode of the Lord is adored by all self-realized persons, free from all kinds of miseries and fear of illusory existence. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.9.9. In that personal abode of the Lord, the material modes of ignorance and passion do not prevail, nor is there any of their influence and goodness. There is no prominence of the influence of time, so what to speak of the illusory external energy? It cannot enter that region. Without discrimination, both the demigods and the demons worship the Lord as devotees. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.9.10. 408. The statement of Moksha Dharma should be adapted to this explanation. But why then did Moksha Dharma make such a statement? The meaning should be adapted. Since the Lord has a form which is spiritual, you assume the statement indicates that the Lord has a material form because of your material mentality. The real meaning of the statement will now be shown. Thus, the real meaning is as follows. Narada, you should not consider my form to be material, which is visible to material people because it is material. Right? In other words, he's revealing himself so that those who are even the material persons can see Krishna. Right? But that doesn't mean, because they're able to see with their material senses, that he's material. That's why they can see him.
It's by mercy.
Yes, by mercy.
This means that they see something similar to the material form.
It means they may be seeing the Lord, but the point being made is because they're seeing the Lord, you can't say, therefore, because they're materialists and only have material senses,
yes,
that the Lord must be manifesting a material form so they can see Him.
Yes. Yes.
That's the point. It's no, He's by His mercy, they're able to see His form. He's beyond, because He is the origin of the senses, so then, you know, the senses will be able to see Him if He desires. Right? Because it's the potency in the sense that makes it work. Right? The eye, there's a potency there. It's not just that there's an eyeball there, it's that there's a potency, that power of seeing, and the method of how that works, you know, with the light and all that, that potency is the Lord. So, if you can see things here, because people see different things, right? So then, you know, you look at a tree, you just kind of see, you know it's a tree, but it's a mass of leaves. Mm-hmm. But when you look at a painting, and you see, you know, there's the branches and that, well, how do they see that? Artists see like that. They look at a tree, and they see the branches, the things, what's forward, what's back. And so when they paint it, all they're doing is painting what they see. So the people, even on the material platform, are seeing different levels. So the Lord allows them to see the spiritual, then it's not a problem, because it's His potency. Right? It's not the material eye that's seeing, it's the Lord's potency of seeing that's functioning through the material eye. Okay. Having stated that the Lord then says, though I have a form, it is not an invisible spiritual form. Though I have a form, it is an invisible spiritual form. In this way, the Lord has shown that His form is not material, but spiritual. The cause of seeing my spiritual form is my act of desire alone. He wants to be seen, therefore you see. Having said this in one line, He then says, suddenly by my will, I will disappear. The root nas means to disappear. How can one see a spiritual form? It can be seen and not seen only by His will. He whose eyes the Lord anoints with salva bhakti sees the Lord's spiritual form. That means others, they see a material form because they think He's material. But He's actually not. That's just how they see. It's just like you see a very competent person, but you think he's a dweeb. Right? So, but it doesn't mean that he is, but that's how you see him.
Yes. Like that. I saw it in a way like a Duryodhana, they were seeing Krishna as a material person.
Yeah, like that. Or even if they know He's supreme, but that's not the aspect they look at. They just see His friend of Pandavas, therefore He's a problem.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So He's just another problem for them to work out. That's all. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we'll end here.
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Śrīla Prabhupāda ki
Jai
Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki
Jai
Chanyatai Gaura Premanandi
Wouldn't it be a good idea to kind of make it into smaller chapters, 500 verses in one chapter?
We did, today we did more than 100 verses.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Because the chapter is what goes together.
Yeah.
Just like that last chapter that in the temple that they're doing in Bhagavatam. It only had 16 verses.
Yeah. I'm just thinking that there's small parts of this chapter that I'm thinking, oh, this I'm going to use again. So,
oh, you wish you could find it.
It's in that chapter. Oh, of course, you know. Where?
Well, look at it this way. There's only 500 verses that you have to read.
Yeah, and it's sweet and nectarian to read it all anyway. So.
Chaitanya Charitamrita is like that.
Yeah, that's
verses. Yeah, sometimes it's 100 verses. Yeah.
Another thing is that recently I think we established that Brahma is a Madhyamadikari devotee. Is that true? Or did
I mean, that's what it's saying in the purport of the Brahma Samhita. It doesn't mean that since that time he hasn't developed. But at that moment, what his realization was at that moment, he was man. manifesting the nature of a mud bike. Haribol, can you bring the bicycle back down?
In the last 40 trillion years, he had some good
association. Yeah, yeah.
Good association.
Like that. Because the madhyame meaning there is that he could understand what he, the position of his spiritual nature, but he couldn't see the details.
He couldn't see the spiritual in everything.
That means you can either see that you saw himself as a maidservant of Krishna, so you can either say that, take that as that, because we're jivas, so we're feminine, so therefore we're servants of Krishna. So that's the actual principal identity. He saw that.
Yeah.
It doesn't know the detail of, you know, where, what realm. Or he's seeing that he's a maidservant in Vrindavan, but he doesn't know who he is in that position of maidservant.
Okay.
Like that.
Yeah. That's a good argument that our parampara was started by Madhyama. So don't start it with the whole guru thing.
It's working.
So,
good enough for everybody else.
Yeah, it seems to be. Even good enough for the Uttamadhikari you will find one day.
Here one comment. You want to watch what you say about people like Lord Indra in Vermont. If you take birth in the heavenly planets, then watch out. They might remember.
Hey, wasn't he the...
Get him!
I need to be careful.
They're listening.
Yeah, well, that's the problem. Some of the witnesses. One always has to be careful. Yeah, it's just, you know, it's suddenly, it's millions of odds.